Jane.
Yes, Peter?
Now.
Now what, Peter?
Will you marry me now? Tonight?
Oh, Peter, I'm so sorry. I can't tonight. Tonight I have to solve the case of a dead man's chest.
Oh.
It's about time. About time to meet Miss Sherlock, as smart a little gal as ever stumbled across a real live clue. The room is dark, except for a cone of light from a hanging bulb shining on a desktop scattered with papers. Two men stare at each other from the edge of the shadow.
No. Don't be a fool. Don't do it.
You asked for it.
No. No, don't.
One man moving now, burning papers in a grate. The other man sprawled forward, one outflung hand touching the desk calendar, stiffening fingers point to the date line, July 7, 1939. July 1939. 7 years ago, and murder in Manhattan. But 7 years ago, Jane Sherlock was a kid in pigtails. Surely Jane can't get herself and Peter Blossom involved in that crime, or can she? Right now, in the office of Blossom's on Broadway, where Jane works for Peter's mother as buyer for the special shopping service, Jane is saying...
Peter, Mr. Bloom's an antique dealer, and he bid $275. You know, I must have got a bargain, don't you think so?
You go to an auction to buy a set of candlesticks for a client and wind up with a rosewood chest as big as a house.
But, Peter, it's an absolutely genuine antique rosewood chest.
Sure, sure. And where are you going to put it? You'd have to move all your furniture out to get it into your apartment.
Oh, I never thought of that.
Well, it's safe enough in the back room here at the shop. At least till Mother returns from her vacation.
Oh, your mother will love that chair.
I'm not so sure of that.
Oh, whoever could be calling the store at this hour?
Oh, why don't you pick up the receiver and find out?
Blossom's on Broadway. Jane Sherlock speaking.
Miss Sherlock, you bought a rosewood chest today at the John Slater auction.
Why, yes. How do you know?
I went there to buy it myself, but I was too late. You paid $300. I'll give you five.
Five? $500?
Yeah. How about it?
Peter, it's a woman. She wants to pay me $500 for the chest.
Take it. Of course, you can't even mind.
Who's speaking, please?
My name is Iris March.
Oh, I'm sorry, Miss March. The chest isn't for sale.
Jane, don't be a...
Would $750 interest you?
No, oh, no, I don't want to sell.
I hope you won't be sorry.
Sorry? Whatever do you mean?
If you change your mind, call me at the Crescent Arms.
She hung up.
You let her hang up when she offered you $500 for the chest.
Oh, no. She offered $750.
$750?
Mm-hmm.
$450 profit on a chest you can't use, and you let her get away.
Oh, no, she didn't get away. Her name's Iris March, and she lives at the Crescent Arms, and she wants me to call back if I change my mind.
Well, then call back quick.
Oh, no, Peter.
But look, honey, that chest's no good to you, and this is your chance to get rid of it at a profit.
No. If Mr. Bloom bid on it, and now this Iris March wants it, it must be valuable. Or have something valuable in it.
But you can't even get it open. There's no key.
That's all right. I'll get a locksmith in the morning. Peter, someone's trying a street door.
Yeah, let's see who it is.
Is Miss Jane Sherlock here?
I'm sorry. The shop is closed.
I don't want to buy corsets. I want to see Jane Sherlock.
I'm Jane Sherlock. Come on in.
I bought a chest today at the Slater auction. I want that chest.
Well,
I'll give you $1,000 for it.
No, Mr.
Never mind that. $1,500. Take it or leave it. And you'd better take it.
Here, you. I don't like your tone.
Who are you?
Jane and I are engaged. I don't like the way you're talking to her.
Oh, you're Peter Blossom, the lawyer. Well, you'd better give her a little advice. Tell her to sell me that chest.
I'll give you some advice instead. Get out of here.
Take it easy, pal.
Out.
Okay. But don't say I didn't warn you. I'll call you in the morning, Miss Sherlock. Maybe by then you'll have changed your mind.
nice, pleasant little fellow. Wish we had a piece of the cloth his suit was made out of.
Why?
He'd use it for a checkerboard and have a nice, quiet little game.
Oh, stop kidding. Peter, don't you see? If so many people want the checkerboard...
Yes, Jane, I'm beginning to see. Come on, let's go back to the storeroom and have another look at that chest.
All right.
Maybe we can force the lock and see what's in the chest.
Oh, no, Peter. That would ruin it.
Well, I don't see what... Hey, listen. Someone in the storeroom.
There's someone breaking into the chest.
We'll see about that. Hey, you with the flashlight. What do you think you're doing?
Turn the light off. Look out, Peter.
Get this thing off my head.
Oh, wait till I turn on the light.
Get this thing off me. I'm a stack that painting.
All right. Oh, still, Peter, I can't help it.
What's so funny about it? Somebody conks me on the head and then throws a sack over my face.
There, I've got it now.
Boy, I never knew how a potato felt before. Only I was alone in the sack.
Oh, Peter, Lord. Beautiful chest. Somebody pried the lid off.
Well, now at least we'll be able to see what's inside.
Why, Peter, the chest is empty.
Whoever caught me cleaned it out.
But he didn't have time. Besides, he probably brought the sack to carry away whatever was in the chest.
Sack me up instead. But why pry open an empty chest?
I wonder. There must be a secret panel or something.
Now, Jane,
but Peter, there must be. Why would all these people want the chest? Oh, I found a little panel right in the side. It moves. Peter, the chest has a false bottom.
Anything there?
Oh, Peter.
Let me see, Jane.
In the bottom of the chest. Peter, it's a skeleton.
Popsy? This is one time we didn't need Doc Ryan to tell us the guy's really dead.
Do we ever, Tullison?
No, Chief. That was just a joke.
Yeah. Well, save it. You won't think it's a joke when the commissioner gets on our neck. And nice work, Jane. We have enough trouble at homicide solving nice, fresh killings without you digging up a skeleton.
Oh, but I didn't dig it up.
Well, how did it happen?
Well, you see, Captain Dingle, I went to the Slater auction to buy a set of candlesticks for Mr. Lackworthy. He's a client of the Blossom Special Shopping Service and specializes in all sorts of lighting things like candles and lamps.
Now,
and
wait a minute. Peter, maybe you'd better tell this.
Well, there isn't much to tell, Dingle. Jane saw this rosewood chest and bought it.
And we couldn't get it open because there wasn't any key, and I didn't have room to take it to my apartment, and so we brought it here to the shop.
And busted it open with a hatchet, I suppose.
Oh, no. The man did that.
What man?
Why, the man that fought Peter with the potato.
Look, Jane, are you crazy or am I?
Well, I don't know about you, Dingy.
Don't call me Dingy.
All right.
Now, you say you bought this rosewood chest at the Slater auction.
That's right.
Slater. John Slater. Are you talking about John Slater? He ran for judge once. Got tied up with a singer and his wife sued him for divorce. Disappeared very mysteriously years ago.
7 years ago, to be exact, Dingle.
Uh-huh.
See, recently, Mrs. Slater went to court and had him declared dead. It's all nice and legal. I happened to be in court the morning it came up.
Yes. It seems I read about it in the papers.
Today, all his effects were auctioned off to settle the estate.
Didn't take Mrs. Slater long once she had him declared dead.
Well, now, don't forget the 7 years he's been missing.
Hey, maybe the guy didn't disappear, Chief. Maybe he was murdered and the skeleton in the box was his.
Huh? You know, Tollison, sometimes you show semblances of normal intelligence.
Oh, thanks.
Now, wait a minute. Why would the girl want to buy the chest if all there was in it was a skeleton?
Oh, now there's a girl mixed up in it. I suppose you'll be telling me next that there were three Hindus and an Indian chief. Who?
Oh, no. Just the girl and the man that sacked Peter off and that man that played checkers on his suit.
Oh, look here, Peter. If you don't explain this, we'll be here all night. Now, what about the potatoes?
But that's what Peter said he felt like when the man put the sack over his
head. Shut up, Jane.
Well, Peter, Well, in order of their appearance, three people tried to get that chest from Jane after she bought it at the auction today.
Four, Peter. You're forgetting Mr. Bloom. You know, the antique dealer.
I think we can count Mr. Bloom out of this. He's a legitimate dealer. He only bid on the chest at the auction.
Oh.
Who were the other three?
Well, first, a girl named Iris March phoned.
Iris March?
Mm-hmm.
Never heard of her. Why did she want the chest?
Well, she didn't say. She barely hung up when in barges a guy with a suit as loud as a sideshow barker.
Who was he?
He didn't mention his name. Got a little rough, so I asked him to leave.
Oh, Peter was wonderful. He practically threw the man out.
Mm-hmm. Then what?
Well, then we decided to take another look at the chest. We headed for the storeroom.
But someone beat us to it. He was in there in the dark. He had a flashlight.
He also had a sack, which he pulled over my head. I suppose he brought the sack along to cart off the skeleton.
And after he hit Peter, he ran away.
Maybe that was the same guy, the one in the racetrack suit.
No, I think this was a bigger man.
How do you know, Peter, if the room was dark?
I scuffled with him.
Well, looks like 7 years ago, somebody croaked John Slater and put the body in the chest. But why wasn't it found before?
Oh, the auctioneer said the chest was under a lot of old furniture in the attic.
Well, Ryan?
Don't ask me to set the hour of death this time. All I can tell you is somebody pumped two bullets into the guy a lot of years ago and dumped him in the chest without any clothes or identifying objects.
Hey, Chief.
Yeah?
How about fingerprints?
Collison, did you ever try to get fingerprints off of a skeleton?
Excuse me, Chief. I see what you mean.
Oh, maybe his dentist can help us out. Any fillings in the teeth?
Got no teeth. The stiff must have worn false teeth and the killer threw them away. There's one thing, though.
What's that?
Healed fracture of the left femur.
Huh?
The stiff had a broken leg that healed, huh?
And the leg is slightly shorter than the other.
Well, that may help. Now we'll have to see if we can run down this March girl.
Oh, I know where she lives.
What? Why didn't you say so before?
You didn't ask me.
Well, I'm asking you now.
She said I could call her at the Crescent Arms.
Oh. Collison got the number of the Crescent Arms.
Oh, I already looked it up. Here it is.
Okay. Here's where we have a little chat with Iris March.
Yeah, but if she croaked the guy, she won't be there, Chief.
Well, one thing in our favor, Collison, is that none of these people know that the police have been called.
Well, maybe she's out for the evening.
She wanted the chest, didn't she? She'll be there. Hello, is Miss March...
Now, Tollison, why won't you let us leave the shop?
The chief said not to, that's why.
Oh.
You heard him yourself, Miss Sherlock.
Oh, but Stingy was just upset.
Well, he'll be more than upset if I don't do like he says.
Well, I think it's me. If I hadn't told him Iris March lived at the Crescent Arms, he'd never have phoned her.
And practically heard her murdered over the phone. Now, look, Jane, hasn't it occurred to you that Dingle may have wanted to keep you out of trouble?
Trouble? I never had any trouble.
No? This looks like trouble right now.
Said it, buddy, if you don't get your mitts up right away.
Hey, you can't do that.
I can't, huh?
Ooh.
Watch the other guy go.
Hey, you hit Tollison with that gun. You killed him.
Nah, he's just listening to the birdies sing. Anybody else want to try something?
Not at the moment.
Oh, a wise guy, huh? Well, so was the other bird, and you saw what happened. You want some of the same?
Thanks, no.
This guy on the phone looks like a cop. I hate cops.
Shut up, Joe. Signal the boss through the window.
He's coming now.
Everything under control, boys?
Oh, sure, boys. The guy on the floor got reckless, but he's behaving now.
Good.
Well, if it isn't our old friend, Checkers.
What do you mean, Checkers?
Just admiring your suit.
Well, what's the matter with his suit? It's that rank back that's... Three C-notes. It's tailor-made.
Shut up, Joe.
Well, Rags, you must give me the name of your tailor.
Rags, huh? Rags Doherty.
That's right. And that's too bad. You'll have to change our plans now.
Your plans?
Yes, we came for the chest. Your friend hadn't spotted who I was. We meant to leave you here. Well, not exactly free, tied up and gagged. But now...
Now what?
Now I'm afraid you'll have to come with us. We're going for a little ride.
Peter?
Yes, Jane. Yes.
Oh, hello. What do you suppose they're going to do to us?
I wish I knew. Maybe it's better I don't.
You know where we are?
Sure, try and know this neighborhood. In the back room of a closed-up nightclub.
A nightclub?
Uh-huh. It's been closed 5 or 6 years. Rags Doherty used to run it. He called it the Beau Brummel.
The terrible trouble. Oh. This dirty room. Peter, are you tied up like I am?
Can't move a finger. Well, maybe one finger. You're calling this place the Beau Brummel. It's just like Doherty. He used to call him Glad Rags. He always fussed about clothes.
Peter, I think maybe I can get my hands in.
We'll try, dear.
Maybe we'd better not talk.
No. Keep talking. I'll be just outside. It might get suspicious. Keep working your hands while we talk.
All right. Peter, what do you suppose will happen to Tolleson?
I don't know. Rags left the mug he called Joe to watch him while they brought us here.
Well, I'm afraid for Tolleson. You know, Joe said he hated policemen, and if he finds
out... Well, don't worry, Jane. Rags sent Nat back to help Joe bring the chest. We'll keep Joe in line.
Is Rags a gangster?
He runs a string of nightclubs now, Jane. He used to be mixed up with the Hank Turner outfit.
Who's Hank Turner?
He's a crooked politician. Rags is a strong arm boy, and... Hey, wait a minute.
What is it, Peter?
Slater. The guy that originally owned the chest was mixed up with Turner, too. That's why he blew town.
Peter, maybe that's the connection.
Why, of course it is. Slater was a crooked lawyer. The Turner crowd was running him for judge.
Uh-huh.
Then his wife sued for divorce, and they threw him to the wolves.
For what?
They couldn't stand the scandal. There was a nightclub gal in it, a gal named, May something or other. May North, that's it.
Peter, the rope's giving.
Good, keep at it. Yeah, May North. And May used to sing in Doherty's nightclub.
Then maybe Rags killed Slater and put him in that chest. Maybe that's why Rags had to have the chest.
Maybe. I wish I knew if Slater had a bad leg.
A bad leg? Why?
The skeleton. One leg was shorter than the other. An old break.
Peter,
I've got my hands. Oh, hurry. Slide open, untie me. Quiet,
though. All right. Look over on your side. I can't get it from now.
Yeah. Is that better? Jane, hurry.
Hurry, all I can. Oh!
Hello,
Miss Sister. Well, I wasn't going anywhere.
I'll say you're not. Good thing I decided to look in on you. Sit down on that chair.
Oh.
Easy, Rags. No need to get rough.
Shut up, mouthpiece. Now, Sister, put your arms back in the chair.
Oh,
yeah. I guess that'll hold you.
I'm sure it will.
Didn't have time to untie the counselor here, eh?
No worse luck.
Well, see you behave yourselves, or I'll stick Joe onto you.
Joe? You mean the one who hates policemen?
Yeah. There's only two things Joe hates worse than coppers. That's lawyers and women.
Peter.
Yes, sir.
Oh, Peter, I wish Captain Dingle were here.
Right this way, Captain Dingle, right down the hall.
How long has Miss March lived here?
Only moved in last week. I do hope she ain't no trouble.
I got a hunch her troubles are over.
Well, this here's her apartment.
Well, come on, open it up.
Yes, sir. I'll show you around, Captain.
You'll stay outside. Come on, Ryan.
This March girl has killed the telephone. She should be here in the hall.
There's no telephone here. Try the bedroom. Here she is, Ryan. Take a look.
Plenty dead, Captain. Knife must have gone through her heart.
Well, let's get a look at her face.
I'll turn her a little. There.
Ryan, do you know who that is?
You said her name was Iris March.
Iris March, my eye. That's the nightclub canary that John Slater's wife sued for divorce about. That's Slater's former girlfriend, May North. Ryan, we're going to have another little chat with that caretaker.
Yes, Captain Dingle. Like I said, she only moved in last week.
I see. And she was alone?
Yes, of course.
Did she ever have any visitors?
Only once that I saw. A kind of stocky man. Bald-headed. A lot older than she was. She said he was her uncle.
Uh-huh. Ryan, did you ever see John Slater?
Nope. The Slater case was before my time.
Okay. The boys are in charge upstairs now. You come with me.
Me? Hey, I'm no cop. I'm a medic.
I may need a witness. I'm going to pay a call on Mrs. John Slater.
You see, Captain,
Dingle, when my husband disappeared, I dropped the divorce proceedings I'd filed against him.
And why, Mrs. Slater?
I could hardly bring myself to go through with a divorce action against the man I thought was dead.
Of course, you do believe that your husband is dead?
Yes. That's why when 7 years had passed, I had his death legally established. Henry told me that was the thing to do.
Henry?
Henry Turner.
Oh.
Been a good friend to me all these years. More than that, in fact. We're to be married soon.
You're going to marry Hank Turner? That is news.
I trust you'll keep it confident. I dislike publicity. I incurred it once before when John and that singer...
Yes, I understand, Mrs. Porter. But tell me, why were you so convinced that your husband was dead?
Sure he is. You see, my husband has some rather strange acquaintances. I'm afraid he was mixed up with the underworld. A man named Rags Doherty. We used to see quite a bit of each other. There were others, too. I suppose you might think it's melodramatic of me, but I think my husband was murdered, Captain Dingle.
Uh-huh. I see. Mrs. Slater, your husband had a large rosewood chest. It was one of the articles sold today at the auction of his effects. You remember it?
Yes. He used to keep it in his study. He moved it to the attic the same night he disappeared.
Your husband moved it?
I don't know. I wasn't home that night, but the next day the chest was gone, and I never saw it again till we cleared out the attic for the auction.
I see. Tell me something else. Did your husband wear false teeth?
Why do you ask that?
Merely routine, Mrs. Slater. I hope you don't mind.
John was very vain. Very few people knew it, but he wore a complete set of plates, upper and lower.
Yeah. One more question, then we'll go. Had your husband ever had a serious accident to his left leg, a bad break that left the leg shorter than the other one?
No, Captain Dingle. My husband had never broken a bone in his body.
Oh, thank you, Mrs. Slater. Come on, Ryan. Goodbye, Mrs. Slater.
Goodbye, Captain Dingle. I'll have the maid show you out.
Oh, it's not necessary. We can find our way. Thank you again.
Not much help, was she, Dingle?
A lot more help than I expected. For one thing, she stirred up something in my mind I'd forgotten.
What was that?
Rags Doherty had a brother, Gimpy.
So?
Gimpy Doherty hasn't been seen or heard of since the day John Slater disappeared. Did a good job of tying me up, Jean.
Oh, God, there's someone coming. Oh, we're in for
it. I'm afraid so.
Well, while I had the lunch, I had a chance out here. It's more than I can figure out.
Don't fight a figure. With the force's orders.
Yeah, I know, but it's...
Put it down here. Shut up. Now, you get out the back door and I'll watch the front. The force is getting jittery.
Yeah, but when we got
it... The force is coming in to look at the skeleton to see if it is Gimpy.
Yeah, but if he can't do it...
Yeah, then get going.
Yeah, but I was going
get
to...
Get going.
Okay.
Well, Jane, here we are all together again.
You and I and the dead man's chest.
Oh, Peter, I wish I'd never seen that horrid chest.
Well, you can say that again.
Peter, who's Gimpy?
Gimpy?
Well, when Matt said Rags wanted to see if the skeleton was Gimpy.
Gimpy. Jane, I think I've got the answer. Rags had a brother named Gimpy. Maybe that's why he wanted the chest. Maybe he thinks Slater killed Gimpy.
I'm figuring, Counselor. Exactly what I do think. I sent Gimpy to see Slater that night 7 years ago to tell him to pay off on a gambling debt. Gimpy never came back.
And Slater disappeared.
Yeah. And when I ran into May North yesterday, I put two and two together.
May North?
She calls herself Iris March now. But she was the gal who ran off with Slater. I scared her into talking. Slater's broke. He's back in town to keep his wife from marrying Hank Turner.
But how?
He was going to come to life again. But May said there was one thing he had to do first.
Get that chest.
Right, sister. That's when I tumbled. I tried to get the chest at the auction, but I was too late. So I came to you.
And you killed Iris. I mean, May.
Killed her? I didn't know she was dead.
We think somebody killed her tonight just before you kidnapped her.
That dirty rat Slater. He must have figured she stole the dope to me. Well, if that's Gimpy in the chest, Slater will fry for both of them.
Don't bother to look, Rag. It's Gimpy.
Slater. I've been waiting for this minute.
Hold it, Rags, right where you are.
You won't dare shoot. I got a man on each door.
You had a man on each door. I'm quite handy with a knife. As May found out tonight.
You got Matt and Joe?
Joe was a little stupid. I made a noise outside the back door. He stuck his neck out. As for Matt, he was watching the front. I came in back.
And you killed Jimmy, my kid brother.
Don't try anything, Rags. I'm not ready to kill you yet.
Look, Slater, I'm Peter Blossom.
Oh, I've heard of you. Oh, too bad, Mr. Blossom. Brother of the bar, too.
But surely
trust
you're not going...
Trust up nicely, you and the lady, like Christmas turkeys for roasting. Very fitting, when I burn this place down over your head.
But, Mr. Slater, you wouldn't do that.
Oh, but, my dear, I have no choice. You see, John Slater is coming back to life. Nobody has anything on me now except the people here. I shoot Rags and burn this place with all of you and give these bones.
Jane, don't do it.
Rags, don't!
Why, you little... I'm going to...
Come on,
Dorothy.
I will come in after you.
Jane, I think it's this way.
Jane, Sherlock, where are you?
She's there on the floor, Dingo. And so help me, I think she's fainted.
Jane, I can't say I blame you for fainting.
Oh, it was silly of you.
No, it was no such thing, my little screwball. And tumbling your chair against Slater so Rags could get a shot at him, that was the sweetest job of blocking as I ever saw on a football field.
What'll they do with Rags?
Well, Slater was killed crazy. We can both testify that Rags shot him in self-defense.
Oh, gosh, I hope we can get him off.
You're forgetting one thing, Jane.
What's that?
Rags and his men made away with Tollison. We haven't found the body.
Oh, poor Tollison. What's that?
Somebody knocked.
Hey, it's from that chest.
Maybe Gimpy's skeleton has come to life. That's better see, Dingo.
Yeah.
Help me get the lid up.
Be careful, please.
Okay, Dingo. Lift your side.
All right. Okay.
Tollison.
Tollison. What are you doing in that chest?
Gosh, Dave, I don't know. I just woke up in here with a bunch of bones. Thought I was dead and gone to heaven. But, Chief, now that you're here, tell me, am I in the other place?
Well, Jane, I never thought we'd see your apartment again.
Oh, neither did I, Peter. I thought we were goners.
I hope we've heard the last of the rosewood chest.
Peter, so do I.
Jane, honey, no more auctions.
No more auctions, Peter.
Oh, good.
Oh, Peter, the door. Let me go.
Oh.
Oh, thank you. Peter.
Now what?
It's a telegram from Mr. Bloom, you know, the antique dealer.
Well, what does he want?
We've got to hurry over there right now. He's got another rosewood chest.
Oh. Where's my hat, Jane? Here we go again.
Peter Blossom is going to be framed in Rosewood. But next Thursday, that's a different story. Jane and Peter find themselves involved with a prim and somewhat grim old maid and a parrot that talks too much. Next Thursday at this same time, The Case of the Cockeyed Parrot. Another adventure of Jane Sherlock and Peter Blossom when you meet Miss Sherlock. Dave Vail, written by Don Thompson, and with original music composed and played by Eddie Dunsetter, is presented from Columbia Square in Hollywood. Tip call.